The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly with Jimmy Shields, Bill Thompson, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Hallelujah. What is the most used room in your house? Well, it's probably your kitchen. That's where you have to spend a great many hours, and it's a room that's mighty important to the whole family. Then shouldn't the kitchen be as bright and cheerful as you can make it? There are many things you can do to accomplish this, but nothing will help more than to keep your linoleum floors glistening and spotless with Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat. And nothing will save you as much work as Glow Coat. This easy-to-use polish needs no rubbing or buffing at all. You simply pour it onto your floor, spread it around, and it polishes itself in 20 minutes while it's drying. Glow Coat gives a beautiful polish that is long-lasting and easy to keep clean. Spilled things wipe up easily with a damp cloth. Many users write us that Glow Coat makes their linoleum last 6 times longer than unprotected surfaces. And, of course, Glow Coat does away with old-fashioned floor scrubbing. Buy a can of Glow Coat tomorrow. It's spelled GLO-COAT. Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat. Crime has just raised its ugly head. The Wistful Vista Jewelry, We Fix Watches and Do You Need Glasses Company has just discovered that a $12,000 necklace is missing. And here, sympathizing with the tearful anguish of the proprietress, Mrs. Teitelbaum, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Now, Mrs. Teitelbaum, don't take it so hard, dearie. I'm sure the necklace will turn up someplace.
So am I. It'll turn up in our pawn shop in Toledo, maybe.
Oy, 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 $12,000.
Ah, there.
Now look, Mrs. Teitelbaum, you want to recover this diamond necklace without no fuss nor scandal, don't you? And you don't want to dish out a heavy reward to the cops, do you?
You're talking.
I was wondering for a minute. Probably the one guy in the world that can clear this robbery up for you and get that necklace back.
Mr. McGee, if you can do it, I'm so grateful to you. You can have anything in the store.
Oh.
At a big discount. but what experiences are you having, please?
What experience? Why, Mrs. Teitelbaum, do you mean to stand there with your head between your bobby pins and tell me you never heard of Detective McGee?
So help me, I didn't.
I'm kind of surprised at you, Tidy. Because I'm well known for crime detection. A brute with my fists and lightning with a shooting iron. Why, when I was only 5 years old, none of the other kids would even split a soda with me because I was so fast on the draw. I could shoot lead out of a revolver quicker than anybody living. Get the lead out, McGee, I was known as in that day. Get the lead out, McGee, the go-getting gumshoe Galahad, going great guns at giving the gate to groups of gaudy gamblers with McGream and Gat, gallantly girding the gold to give gangsters a gruesome glimpse of the gallows, and gathering great gobs of glory as a go-between for good government from the grim, gaunt gullies of Galatea to the well. That gives you a rough idea.
Bill, what's your proposition, please?
1% of the value of the necklace. That's $120, and I guarantee results.
All right, go ahead.
McGee. How about the business you had with Mrs. Teitelbaum when you came in here?
Oh, that can wait. I just wanted to tell her that that fountain pen I got in here this morning was, oh, never mind that now. Come on, Molly, you're working on this case with me.
Oh, goody.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pretend we're playing the thin man.
Oh.
I'll be Myrna Loy and you can be Dick Powell.
It was William Powell.
Oh, well, he was a dick in the picture.
Mrs. Teitelbaum, have your clerk call the police and get a squad car over here, and then write down the names of whoever's been in the store today. I want a third degree, everybody.
Okay. Jake, a piece of paper on a squad car, please.
McGee, why do you get that poor woman's hopes up like this? As a sleuth, you couldn't find a fire truck in a phone booth.
Molly, for some reason, you seem to lack confidence in me. Tell me this, have I ever completely failed in anything I ever did?
What'd you ever do?
Hey, I wonder what became of that squad car. They ought to be here by now. Let me take that phone. Hello, operator. Give me the police Oh, is that you, Mert? How's everything, Mert? Who did? Your cousin Alfred. Not really. With an old-fashioned razor, eh?
Oh,
my God. From ear to ear, hey?
Oh, geez.
Is that so? What do you know about that, Molly?
Oh, heavenly days, what?
Mert's young cousin shaved himself for the first time this morning. He was so tickled he had a grin from ear to ear. Yeah. Hello, Mert. Oh, police headquarters don't answer, eh? No, never mind. So long, Mert. One of these days I'm going to really get a number and spoil everything. Well, now, the first thing we got to do, Molly...
Here, Mr. McGee, here's our list of customers who are being in my store today.
Oh, well, thank you, Mrs. Teitelbaum. Phone this list to the police and tell them to have all these suspects here at 2 o'clock. Now, before I start running down any clues, I'd like to ask just one question, if I may.
Go ahead.
Now, think carefully before you answer, Mrs. Teitelbaum.
Teitelbaum.
Now, here's the question. Does this list you gave me comprise the names of each individual who had access to or means of or by use of accomplices, hereinafter referred to as the party of the second part, any suspicious actions on part of same?
A very shrewd question, McGee.
Can I answer yes or no?
Yes.
No.
Thank you. That clears up an important point.
Somebody here call for a squad car?
Yes, officer. There's been a robbery in here.
What was took?
A diamond necklace, bud, worth 12 grand. You work with me and I'll cut you in on the publicity.
Okay, that's swell. I take a wonderful picture.
That's all.
Yeah, I usually pose with me revolver in me hand and a stern look on me puss. Like this, see?
Yeah. That's a stern look, all right. Looks like the stern of a ferry boat. But the publicity will come later, officer.
Okay, Doc. Well, I'll be waiting for you outside in the squad car.
Okay, bud. Now, the first thing I just thought of something. Come on, quick.
Where, McGee?
Never mind. No time to answer questions. We'll be back shortly, Mrs. Teitelbaum. Come on, Molly. Hurry. Time means everything.
What is this?
Hey, officer, drive us to 79 Wistful Vista. In a hurry.
Yeah.
Get in the squad car quick, Molly.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Step on it, bud. Get going.
Yes, sir. Here you are, Doc. Shall I surround the house?
No, you come back for us in a half an hour.
Okay, Doc.
That's all clear.
McGee. What was the idea of risking our necks to get to our own house?
Why, Molly, don't you realize? It's 12 o'clock. It's time for lunch.
Oh.
Here's the jewelry store, Doc.
You gotta get them brakes fixed. Oh, come on, Molly. Now that I've had lunch, I can really tackle this jewel robbery. Never could solve a mystery on an empty stomach.
Why not? As a detective, you're strictly from hunger.
Just the same, I can be more nonchalant with a toothpick in my mouth and... Sorry, little girl.
Hi, mister.
Don't stop me now, sis. I'm on a case.
Hey, are you a doctor? Are you?
No, I'm a detective. I said, now listen, sis, I ain't got time to be bandying words with you. You run along about your business, and I'll run along about mine. Go on now, sis, beat it.
Where?
Well, where were you going when I bumped into you?
Don't you know?
How should I know?
Well, gee, I thought you were a detective.
Dad, granted, I am a detective, but how should I know all about you?
Well, I know all about you, I betcha.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, all right. If you know so much, tell me all about me.
Okay.
Okay.
You're 5'7" high, and you weigh 142, and your waistline is 37 inches. And you got a penicillin scar on your stomach, and you need to have your tonsils out. And... You were born on the 16th of November, and you had cauliflower for lunch, I betcha.
Well, I'll be a censored exclamation. How did you know all that, sis?
I saw it in your insurance application. My uncle sold you the insurance.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, that's pretty simple then.
Yeah.
I thought you were really... Hey, how'd you know I had cauliflower for lunch? That wasn't in my insurance application.
I know it.
Well, and how'd you figure that out?
Well, we live just south of you and there's a north wind today.
Come on, let's get in the store, Molly. I gotta get busy on this case.
Oh, there you are, Mr. McGee, yeah. And there's my diamond necklace bracelet. What's the matter? Necklace.
Don't worry about your necklace now, Mrs. Teitelbaum. I never fail. When it comes to recovering precious stones, I'm quicker than a snake. Kind of a diamond back rattler, you might say. Don't you get it, Molly? Precious stone returned? Diamond?
It ain't funny, McGee.
Oh. I second the motion.
Okay, okay, you'll see. I got this thing all figured out. Now have that cop send in the first suspect, Mrs. Teitelbaum.
Certainly, right away. Officer, officer.
Now you sit there, Molly, and take notes.
All
and
right.
The first...
I demand to see the officer in charge about this, our scrub. Oh.
How do you do, Mrs. Uppington?
Why, Oh, how do you do, Mrs. McGee? And Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppy.
Why, I don't understand. They told me I was to be interviewed by a detective about some horrid robbery.
Mrs. Uppington, I'm the detective. Sit down.
Just one moment, Mr. McGee. I know nothing about any robbery. Here I was innocently doing my Christmas shopping. And
oh, shopping, eh? Got plenty of money to spend, Mrs. Uppington.
Yes, I have. If it's any of your business.
Make a note of that, Secretary. Carrying plenty of dough. Is this the first diamond necklace you ever stole, Mrs. Uppington? Answer yes or no.
No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, Mr. McGee, I have never stolen anything in all my life, and I refuse to answer any more questions.
Now look, Mrs. Uppington. We're your friends. We realize that it's easy for a girl like you to go wrong. Unhappy conditions at home, alone in the big city, malnutrition, frustrated in love and with malice aforethought.
Mr. McGee, please.
Now, Mrs. Uppington. Don't be upset, dearie. We'll make it as easy for you as we can.
Mrs. Uppington, you were in this jewelry store between the hours of this morning and this afternoon, were you not?
Yes, I was.
What'd you buy?
Why, I didn't make any purchases.
Oh, you didn't buy anything, eh? Just snooping around, eh? A likely story. A gal with plenty of money goes in a jewelry store, full of diamonds and emeralds and rubies and all stuff like that there, and don't buy anything. Come, come, my good woman.
I am not your good woman.
Oh, you're not a good woman.
I protest I am too a good woman.
Oh, contradicting yourself, are you? Can't stick to one story. Split personality, eh?
Mr. McGee, you will soon be a split personality if I can find an axe somewhere. Why, of all the impudence I ever heard in my life, well, goodbye.
Well, we can cross her off as a suspect. I don't think she'd be guilty of robbery.
No, her line is murder.
Huh? What you mean?
I mean she'll shoot you on sight after this.
Hello there, Johnny. Hello, daughter. Understand you want to grill me.
You betcha, old-timer.
Good. Grill my back first, will you? Been cold all day.
No. You don't understand, Mr. Old-timer. We're trying to find out who stole a $12,000 necklace.
This is an important case to me, old-timer. And believe me, I'm going to get every one of them diamonds back. I ain't going to leave a stone unreturned.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it.
Never mind that stuff now. Where was you between the hours of...
The way I heard it, one feller says to t'other feller, see, says, I hear there's a radio show on Tuesday night. If you're listening to it, when they call you up, they give you $1,000. Look here, says t'other feller, if you're still talking about that Fibber McGee program, tell you right now, it ain't worth it. You want to see me about something, Johnny?
Yes, I do. The owner of this jewelry store, Mrs. Teitelbaum, was robbed of a diamond necklace worth $12,000.
Well, ferment my cider. What do you know about that?
The question is, what do you know about it?
Oh, not a thing, daughter. I got an alibi.
Oh, no, you haven't. Just about the time of the robbery, a witness looked in the window of this store and seen your head.
That's my alibi, Johnny. I was out of my head at the time.
That's pretty good, old-timer, but that ain't the way...
What? This is where I come in, Johnny.
Well, there goes another witness.
Yeah, probably just as well. That guy's so far into his second childhood, they'd have to try him in a juvenile court. Uh-oh, here comes the next witness.
Just take that chair facing the window, please.
Your name, please.
Harlow Wilcox.
Where do you live?
In a house.
Of course you live in a house. Everybody does.
Eskimos don't.
Eskimos don't enter into it.
Yes, they do. They enter into it through a little door in the front. You see, they cut the ice away.
Silence!
Yes, sir.
Now then, Wilcox, what do you know about this crime that's been committed here?
I think it's terrible. I haven't thought of anything else for months.
Oh, my, it was premeditated, dearie.
You realize what you're saying, Wilcox? After all, stealing a $12,000 necklace is no joke.
Necklace? What necklace?
Well, you said you'd been considering the crime for months.
Oh, not that crime.
Huh?
Now, it has nothing to do with a necklace.
Oh.
I've just been thinking what a crime it is that Mrs. Teitelbaum didn't protect and beautify the linoleum in this store with Johnson's glow coat.
Folks, I might have seen this coming. As the guy said when he shot the barbershop quartet, it's a foregone conclusion. Race on, Racine.
Well, that's all, except that I'm going to show Mrs. Teitelbaum how Johnson's glow coat will bring out the beauty of her linoleum and keep it from scuffing and wearing, and how she can apply it with absolutely no rubbing or buffing, and how it shines as it dries.
Oh.
Did you say a necklace was missing?
Yes, Mr. Wilcox.
Well, gee, if you find it, give me the string, will you? I'm a string saver. So long, folks.
Oh. Relief to me, McGee. I was afraid for a minute that he was the robber.
Nope, and even if he was, he'd beat the rap. No expert on glow coat will ever be sentenced to hard labor.
Hey, oh,
what's that?
Heavenly days. Look, McGee, it's a stone with a note tied to it.
Oh, no, be calm, Molly. They can't frighten me off of this case. Well, let me see that note.
What does it say?
It says, "Don't pay any attention to me. I'm just a rock that was thrown up by a passing truck." A likely story. Uh-oh, here's our next witness. Take the chair by the window, bud.
What's your name?
Jimmy Field.
What do you do?
I'm a singer.
What you gonna sing?
My prayer.
Okay, Jimmy, go right ahead.
My prayer and the answer you give, may they still be the same. For as long as we live, that you'll always be there. When the twilight is gone, and no songbird is singing, when the twilight is gone, you come into my heart. And here in my heart you will stay. While I pray, my prayer is to linger with you at the end of the day in a dream that's divine. My prayer is a rapture in blue with the world far away and your lips close to mine. Tonight, while our hearts are aglow, oh, tell me the words that I'm same. For as long as we live, that you'll always be there at the end of my
tired of this, McGee.
Now, don't worry, Molly. I got this case all solved.
Well,
Ah,
there, Jitterjaw. Understand you want to question me. Answer yes or no.
Yes.
Splendid, splendid. I was getting homesick for a good third degree. Go right ahead, Sherlock. I'll stand by to give you the needle.
What's your name, my man?
Oh, gotta be formal, eh? My name is Horatio K. Boomer.
Horatio K. Boomer. What's the K for?
Kill Patrick. Patrick was my brother, the rat.
What's your address?
In front of the pinball game in Kramer's drugstore for the nonce. Call me up sometime. If a man answers, that's Kramer.
Now look, Mr. Boomer, there's been a robbery in this store. A $12,000 diamond necklace.
Yeah, and you got a reputation for living by your wits, Boomer.
That's so. Well, if you ever lived by your wits, Gumshoe, you'd be on half pay.
A likely story. Boomer, we're going to frisk you. Empty your pockets on that table there.
Why, certainly, certainly. Glad to cooperate. Here you are.
Empty him out there.
Oh, dear.
Ah, there's a steel jimmy.
Brought that along to open clams with. Going to clam bake later on tonight. Or should I say another clam bake?
Short length of lead pipe.
Oh, is that lead?
You betcha.
Could have sworn it was rubber. Saw it bounce off a man's head last night.
Oh, look, a pair of rubber gloves.
Oh, simply a sanitary measure, my dear. Going to help a friend of mine clean out a dirty old bank tomorrow.
Here's something. Looks like a receipt for a funeral service.
Oh, so it is, so it is. Bought a coffin for a little midget friend of mine. You understand now what that paper is?
A check for a short beer.
Exactly.
Okay, Boomer, you ain't got anything incriminating on you, I guess. Go out and wait with the others.
Heavenly days, McGee. me where we are now? That was our last suspect.
Now, don't worry, Molly. The case is all solved.
But how? Where?
Now, watch this, Molly. Come on, we'll talk to the crowd.
All right. All right,
quiet, please, folks. Quiet.
Mr. McGee, please.
Now, take it easy, Mrs. Teitelbaum. The case is all solved. The person who has your necklace is right in this room. And the name of that person is... Fibber McGee.
Oh.
Yeah, and here it is, Mrs. Teitelbaum.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, my beautiful stuff. Thank you.
Wonderful, Fibber. Where'd you get it? Who took it?
I did.
What?
You did? Yeah.
McGee, it's time you explained yourself, I think.
Well, I think so myself, I think. Folks, I came in here this morning to buy a fountain pen. When I got home, the fountain pen box had a diamond necklace in it. Mrs. Teitelbaum simply gave me the wrong box.
Well, I
thought it was a good chance to practice up on my detective work. You see, I'm taking a correspondence course in detective work.
All right. Break it up. Quiet.
McGee. I think you should be ashamed of yourself, dearie.
Huh? What for?
Treating Mrs. Teitelbaum this way. I think you owe her an apology for keeping her so upset all day.
Oh, well... Maybe you're right, Molly. Well, Mrs. Teitelbaum, I apologize. I guess it was kind of thoughtless. I'm awfully sorry.
For what, please?
For worrying you so much.
Listen, I keep telling myself why worry. After all, it's just a comedy program.
And Molly will be back in just a moment. But before they come, let me ask you to look around at your floors for a moment. Look especially at the places where they get the most wear, in the hallway or in front of the dining room door. Now, if your floors are not properly protected at these traffic spots, you'll find the floor badly marred and scuffed up, greatly detracting from the appearance of the entire house. But if these traffic areas are protected regularly with genuine Johnson's wax, then they gleam with a rich, mellow beauty that is something to be proud of. One of the many nice things about using Johnson's Wax is that you can touch up these hard wear spots as often as necessary without re-waxing the entire floor. That saves you work as well as saving your floors. Another nice thing, genuine Johnson's Wax has over 100 extra uses that add greatly to the beauty of your home and simplify your housework. You'll find these uses listed on the Johnson's Wax package, paste or liquid. Careful housekeepers make sure there's always a supply of Johnson's Wax on hand.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, before we leave you tonight, we'd like to remind you that your local Tuberculosis Institute needs your aid.
And you can do your part by buying Christmas seals.
Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you all to join us again next Tuesday night at this same time. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.